Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
In the house of the Lord tonight, say amen.
Ran over several songs this afternoon that we wanted to have ready just in case, and trying to pick and go the right direction tonight. You pray for us as we do this song. It's a little coming off of "I'll Fly Away." It's slowing it way down. But talking about praying, bow the knee. You pray for Phil as he sings.
The purpose
Circumstances and things I could not understand, and many times in trials weakness blurred my vision, and that's when my frustration, it gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had through the fire, my weaknesses may stroll. Oh, oh,
oh, oh. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help us. In the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Yeah.
down in my soul. I tried to get well, I went to some doctors, but no one could make me whole. Then someone told me there is a physician who'll treat me with love and grace. Will you take my case?
I went to some doctors, and there was no waiting. He took me right in that night. I told him that I had no money, no insurance, but he said that's all right. This sickness I had was killing me daily, so I fell down on my face. He said, child, it's sin, but my touch can cure you. In mercy, I'll take your case.
He took my
Jesus took my case. This holy one.
I could not get well till I found the
sweet touch.
Surely die. Then I heard his voice speaking so gently, child, you'll be all right. This sickness you have doesn't need to be fatal. I can fix it with Calvary's grace. All you need is a blood transfusion. It's paid for.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that great? I tell you, folks, I appreciate the specials. And I appreciate the choir. We have a boatload of people out traveling right now. But I thank you, the choir, for being so faithful. I was looking at the faces and the individuals in the choir. And I enjoyed all the songs, but I tell you, when you were singing Through the Fire, it got a hold of me, because I know some of you are going through the fire. Some circumstances, maybe not as critical or crucial as others, but some are very serious, and you are here in the house of the Lord, bragging on him in song. I just thank you so much for being faithful. I appreciate this church, and I appreciate Doug Bearden and his dear wife. They've been a friend to me personally They've been a friend to Westside Baptist Church. And I appreciate even the more that they have been friends with Pastor Payne. And they go way back. And I appreciate their friendship. And Brother Doug, if you would come and let us have it tonight, because we could really use it. You're dealing with some real mean ones right now, so you come on and give it to them.
Love you, preacher.
Appreciate
you. Love you. Well, good evening. Good evening. It's good to be in God's house, isn't it? Always. Always. He said there's a boatload gone. I don't know where y'all would put them if they's here. They're probably docked at a fishing dock somewhere right now. But I like it when we can come to God's house. I don't remember what day it was. Miss Gail probably would. I'm glad to have her and Katie and Buck with me tonight. Miss Renee, Brother Wendell. But I was about at my own business this past week. And I don't text. I don't Facebook. I'm just a phone, flip phone man. If you want to talk to me, call me. And I don't even have it half the time. I don't have it tonight. I come off without it. But Brian Calhoun texted me, and he said, well, at least you got your name on the marquee. He said, I didn't. And he said, and I bragged on you. And all that. And he said, so I expect you to brag on me. Well, I handed my phone to Gail, and I said, text him back and say, will do. So I want to tell y'all, he's a good boy. And he's a good preacher. And laying all the joking aside, he's a Calhoun. That's just all there is to it. He's a Calhoun. You tell him I said so. And he'll get a kick out of it. Get a kick out of it. I appreciate the singing and all. It's been mighty good. Appreciate y'all letting me come. Appreciate Brother Melvin, Brother Alton. And I love Dave. Dave's like a son to me. And just so many folks here I go way back with. Melvin and I go back plus 40 plus years. Charlie Benton, we go back a long way. Now, he's about 15 years older than I am, but we go back a long way. And Dave, I remember when he's about this size here, and he's far from that now. So a lot of folks go back a long way. I want to preach a message tonight that I actually preached at my church Wednesday night. I prepared it for this particular service after I knew that I would be coming to preach. And I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want to read one verse. I'm only interested in that verse. And I'm only interested in three words in that verse. And I want to read this verse with you tonight. In 2 Corinthians 12, in verse number 10. If you will, when you find it, stand to reverence the reading of the Word of God. I would be greatly appreciative. The Bible says in verse number 10, Paul makes this statement, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You may be seated. Thank you. I appreciate your kindness and your patience and presence. I'm interested in three words in that verse, and that is, for Christ's sake. Now, that little statement just simply means one thing. It means because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Paul said, because of Jesus, I'll have pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. He said, I'll have pleasure in necessities, in persecution, and distresses. He said that that's the only way that when I'm weak that I can be strong is that I do these things because of Jesus. Now, there's three times and only three times that these three words are used in the Scriptures. For Christ's sake. And I want to deal with those three events, those three times that that statement is made in the Word of God, made by the same man, Paul, but only made three times. Now, I don't know that I know all that is involved in it, because I don't know anybody that knows all that is involved in the Scripture. Well, I know some folks who think they do, but I don't know anybody that really knows. And it's similar to a lot of things I heard growing up. I remember my nanny, back when we were little, we'd run through the house. We grew up in a shotgun house. And she would, you don't hear people talk about this anymore, baking cakes. She would always worry about her cake falling. And she'd say, if we run through the house, the cake will fall. And we'd come running through there, and she'd say, would y'all please quit running, for goodness sake? Well, I know who goodness is, or what goodness is. My papa was always bad. Now, I don't know who Pete is, but my papa was always bad to say, for Pete's sake. Pete must have been a really important fella, but I just don't happen to know who he is. But basically what Paul is saying in verse number 10 is he is saying, for Jesus' sake, for Christ's sake, I'm willing to be feeble. I'm willing to be feeble. As we go back and look in this chapter, you'll discover that Paul had a transportation event from here to heaven. There's a lot of fellas that have said a lot of things about chapter number 12. They write, that's fine. If they're not, that's fine too. But we do know that Paul, the Bible said, was caught up. So I'm just going to take it at what it says, that Paul was caught up into glory. And he said, there's things that were spoken that I cannot tell. I saw things I cannot talk about. And everybody, preachers, they try to explain what Paul saw and what Paul heard when Paul said, I can't even tell it myself. So if Paul can't tell it, then we can't tell it, because we weren't there when Paul made the trip. All we know is what Paul said. And Paul said, God won't let me talk about it, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. God gave me a thorn in the flesh, that the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul had no answers to give anybody about this event, so I have no answers to give you about this event tonight. But I can tell you what Paul does say. And in verse number 7, Paul is saying that it would have been so easy for him to become spiritually arrogant, spiritually egotistical, and God would not have been able to use him in the condition that he was in after he made this trip to heaven. After he came back, God knew that he would have to have something that would keep him humble so that he would not be so arrogant and proud. I can immediately tell tonight, one thing God does do for preachers, he gives them a little discernment. You get in the pulpit, you'll see things you won't see sitting in the pew. And I do see a few that probably need a little bit of what Paul's talking about here. a good thorn in the flesh. And the bottom line is that this arrogancy and this egotistical manner of this particular man could only be kept under control by some type of sickness or some type of necessity or some type of persecution in his life. Now, in verses 8 and 9, you don't have to agree with me, but Paul said that the secret to strength in the Lord is not prayer. Prayer was never intended for God. Prayer was intended for us. Prayer was never to get God's will done. Prayer is to get us straightened out. If you get serious about prayer, you won't change God. God will change you. And in the midst of that prayer time, God will do things in your heart that nobody else can do. Nowhere in the Bible, I challenge you to show me one place in the Bible where it says that strength comes from God because of prayer. It does not. It doesn't come because of a man's ability, nor his faithfulness, or any other sort of situation. But I can give you scripture right here that strength of God comes through suffering. That's what he said. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm not strong when I'm arrogant and proud. I'm strong when I've been beat down, squashed, and just about done in. Then I get strong. Because God's the only one that can make me strong. And no one else can. So Paul said, for Christ's sake, I'm willing to be feeble. I'm willing to be feeble. Feeble for Christ's sake. He said, I'm willing to have pleasure in infirmities. The little word means to be weak and frail and bodied, to be diseased. I don't like sickness no more than anybody else. And I've had my fair share of it. I've been through more surgeries, had 38 treatments of radiation. I've gone through more since January the 22nd than I had my whole life put together before. I hate. As a matter of fact, when I went to take the treatments, the second time before they laid me on that table, I said, ladies, y'all are some of the sweetest, kindest ladies in Carroll County. But I hate this business of treatment. And I'm not coming back. And I didn't go back for 3 days. But a little woman changed my mind. And I decided I better go back. They called and wanted to know, was I coming back? I hate diseases. The word cancer will not only get in your gut, it'll get in between your ears. It'll bug you. And this business of infirmities, Paul said, for Christ's sake, I'm willing to have infirmities and have pleasure in. Then he said reproaches. Now don't get overboard with this, but it means mental injuries. Now, I know there's no one else here but me that the devil ever gets in your mind and plays mind games with you, injures you mentally, gets you to thinking that somebody don't like you that probably likes you. Get you to thinking that somebody has something against you that they don't even have anything against you. But Paul said, I'm willing to go through all of that for Christ's sake. And then he said, I'm willing to go through stress. and hardship, difficulties. He said, I'm willing to go through necessities. Now, you grab this word, it'll help you tonight if you're going through some difficulties. The word necessities there literally means we have a need to suffer. Now, who here tonight, you know, now I got a, it's still in me, just like it was when I was 16 years old. I got a need for speed. I love the speed, but I watch myself these days. I've regretted selling my Mustang. Me and Rick Bice had a race up Highway 27. He thought that old Ford pickup or Chevrolet pickup could outrun that Ford Mustang. Third gear, I'd done left him sitting. I got a need for speed. It does. Don't y'all look at me so funny. Some of y'all's foot's sort of heavy, and you like to go fast too. It does something to you in here, don't it? Huh? But I want to tell y'all, I got no need for suffering. But God said I do. God said that I've got a need to suffer. And that need is that I would be, for Christ's sake, feeble so that God's power might rest on my life. If it's my assignment or your assignment, if God did it, then I want to tell you it's all right that we've got infirmities and we've got necessities and we've got sicknesses and diseases. If God did it, it's okay. And for Christ's sake, we ought to be willing to be feeble. Did I tell you I was going somewhere? Hang with me. There's three times this is said. You'll look back at Ephesians with me real quick, like. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 32, Paul made this statement. Paul said, be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, Paul said, I'm willing to be feeble for Christ's sake, for Jesus. But here he's saying, I'm willing to be a forgiver for Christ's sake. The truth is, not many people are willing to forgive, are they? You go back in this chapter, he says in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. How am I going to do that? By being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You're going to get there by being a forgiver of individuals. And you're going to do it for Christ's sake. Amen? That's the only way you can deal with sin. It's the only way you can deal with bitterness and wrath and clamor and anger and evil speaking. But preacher, you don't know what they've done to me. Makes no difference what they've done to you. But you don't know how they've hurt me. Makes no difference how they've hurt you. But preacher, you don't know what it cost me for them to say those things about me. Well, you ain't the only one. You think you're the only one that people tell lies on. Huh? Some of the meanest people in Carroll County have been through our church. And right now, I've got some of the sweetest, but some of the meanest have been through there. And I'm telling you, they'd just soon talk about the preacher as they had to eat fried chicken. And whether they ask you to forgive them or not, For Christ's sake, forgive them. I've heard preachers preach forgiveness based on our sake. Bible don't say anything about our sake. It says we ought to do it for Christ's sake. Because no one's going to be able to serve God holding that bitterness and that wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, gossiping and running their mouth about individuals if they're not willing to forgive. Amen, preacher, and amen. I've learned that forgiveness involves the will, choice. God gave it to us. And you will have to admit tonight and agree with me that you can choose not to forgive somebody, can't you? Preacher can talk to you all day long about forgiving somebody. And you can walk out of there, and I've had this happen many times with people. And it don't do a lick of good to talk to them because they leave out of there with their mind made up, their choices already there. They've chosen not to forgive those individuals. Is that right? Then if we can choose to not forgive, we can choose to forgive. And we should do it according to the scriptures for Christ's sake. I got a couple of my members here, so I'm hesitant to say a whole lot. But I know how these people are, and I know their spirits, so I'm not afraid. We've got a lady in our church who really just needs to turn the page in her life. Bible's got a lot of pages in it. And there's certain things you're going to learn from something on them pages. I'm going to tell you life's the same way. If you're not willing to turn the page in life, I mean, go on. Why would you let somebody who you know can't stand your guts, gossips about you and runs you down and lies about you, why would you let them control your life? Why? You don't have to straighten them out. You won't ever straighten them out. Likelihood is they didn't ever get saved to begin with. They're just hellions for the Antichrist when he gets here. And the bottom line is you need for Christ's sake so you can go on and serve him and love him and have a relationship with him every day in your life by forgiving others for Christ's sake. You know, old Moses and them could never get them old waters over there in Marah sweetened up from the bitterness till they threw a tree in. When you throw Jesus in the middle of your difficulties with forgiving, you won't have no trouble getting over that bitterness. Amen? I've chosen not to live a bitter life. For Christ's sake, Paul said, I'm willing to be feeble. And I know, I've done been there. For you that's had cancer, got cancer, we seem to think that's all there is to talk about. But let me tell you this. There are a lot of folks got cancer that live to be 90 years old. It might be God wants us just to be feeble in life so that he can show his strength, so he can show out in our life and prove to the world that even in the midst of cancer, God is able to raise you up. Then he said, I'm willing not just to be feeble, I'm willing to be a forgiver of Christ. If you let that old bitter individual keep you bitter, you'll never do anything for Jesus. Huh? You won't even be able to make a friend. Are you friendless tonight? Likelihood is because you just hadn't forgiven somebody. You ought to just forgive them. You don't even have to tell them you forgave them. Just forgive them. Huh? I'm a little shy and bashful. Have a hard time talking to people. My wife fusses at me all the time, to tell the truth. We'd be in a restaurant. I got hooked up with about 35 black folks in a restaurant down in LaGrange. Man, they was having such a good time, I thought I'd go over and have a good time with them. Having a birthday party. I invited all of them to my next birthday. Did y'all bring gifts, bring a cake? When is your birthday? February 18th. Let's get together. I seen Gail scooting out the door. She said, "Dutton, them people don't want to talk to you." I said, "Well, they did a mighty good job of it." You friendless tonight? You need help forgiving? He'll help you. Now, I said all that to get to what I wanted to get to. If you'll turn backwards a little bit, the third time this is mentioned, or really the first time it's mentioned, but I'm using it for my third time, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, Paul has already said now to us, "I'm willing for Christ's sake to be feeble. I'm willing for Christ's sake to be a forgiver." Now, I want you to listen to what he says right here. He says in chapter number 4 and verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians, he makes this statement, "We are fools for Christ's sake." What did he say? "We're just old fools." But he said, though, "But you're wise in Christ." Now, he's being facetious here. You got to remember this. He said, "I know you fellas are smart and you got your doctor's degrees and all those things." He said, "But I'm just a fool." He said, "I'm weak. I know you strong. You can handle everything. Go through anything, don't bother. You never get whiny. You never get the pouting, you never have a pity party, you're strong." He said, "I'm weak." He said, "You're honorable." You may not believe this, but Paul said, "We're despised, and you are too. If you're a true Christian, you're despised." Paul said, "You're wise." He said, "I'm just a fool for Christ's sake. Just a fool for Christ's sake. You got it all figured out," he said, "but not me. You're a somebody. I'm a nobody," he said. You can influence people and pull at them and get them to do things. I'm just despised and hated by people. I can't get them to do a thing." You know what this word fool means? Moron. Moron. When I was growing up, it wasn't Polish jokes, it was moron jokes. You know why the moron tiptoed by the medicine cabinet? Didn't want to wake up the sleeping people. You know why the moron doesn't take an umbrella to church? He's afraid the preacher will preach up a storm. Morons. Lo and behold, we find out in the Bible, if it was anywhere but the Bible, it wouldn't bother me. But here in the Bible, it says, we're just a bunch of morons. I'm I'm not being an ugly preacher. It's what it says. In some of our modern day vernacular, it means that the elevator don't go all the way to the top. It means it don't make no difference where you buy hamburger and fries. You're missing a few fries. It's just, it means just what it says. But there's a little statement there, though, that changes the whole meaning of it, and that is that we are morons, fools, for Christ's sake. Huh? You ever been around drunks? Seen how they just are not their self? They make fools out of their self. Say things they wouldn't normally say. Did you know that drunkenness has a goddess? And that goddess is Ducas. The god of Ducas, or the goddess of Ducas, has led people to drink liquor and beer and wine. And the other day I heard on the radio of some woman drinking vanilla extract and getting drunk on it and had an accident and killed some folks. It'd take a moron to drink that to begin with. But I want to tell you that those who turn to drunkenness are fools. You're saying that God is not big enough to handle your problems, so you've got to turn to a bottle to help you make it through the day and through the night. You're a fool, but not for Christ's sake. Huh? There's another God that people love, and that's the God of mammon, the God of money. People lie about their money. Anybody you talk to will say, I can still hardly make it. I don't know what. If I can't get another job, I don't know. Lord, they probably got $200,000 stuck in the bank somewhere. Huh? People lie about their money. God of mammon will cause people to destroy their family by gambling. I don't care if you give 50% to the church, it's still sin to buy lottery tickets. It's gambling. And you're following the God of mammon. Drunkenness is still a sin. Don't let the God of Dacus guide you into a life filled with drunkenness. And don't let them make you think all there is to life is money. Money. And don't throw that junk at me about, well, it sure makes life a lot easier. No, it don't. 95% of everybody who's ever won at least $1 million in the lottery has either lost it or committed suicide. No, you don't gain by gambling. You lose. Husbands lose their families. Children lose their daddies. Amen, preacher. It'll cause a man to steal. It'll cause a man to kill. And it'll doom his life for eternity. And anybody who lives a life of gambling, and I'm talking about all you think about is how you can make more money, you are a fool, but not for Christ. Then there's the fools of pleasure. There's a God for pleasure. Did you know that? He's been around since the beginning of time, the God of Moreh. God amore. Pleasure. That's all this generation today thinks about. You would think in an era, in a society that is so well educated, so well armed by the institutions of academia in this country and around the world, that they would know better than to have premarital sex. When have you heard that lately? And you'd think people would be smart enough not to have extramarital sex. I know this is my last time, anyhow, because we've been trying to get all this done, preacher, while I'm here. I want to help you all again while I'm here, because this is it for me. STDs. I know a young lady tonight. I won't say the name. My folks know her. I don't know how old she is. 23, 24, 25. She had premarital sex with this boy. Graduation party. She got an STD. She can never have babies. Let me ask you ladies something. Y'all be honest with me. If it's not so, I want y'all to tell me. Would y'all do that? Outside of loving God and having a man that really does love God and loves you and treats you like you do, having children is important. I could snatch either of these babies I've seen tonight up and take them home. I mean, I wouldn't get away with it, but I'm saying that I love babies. I got a 2-year-old granddaughter. She owns wherever she is. She owns the air. She owns it all. She's like that dude on O'Reilly. You're in my space. What's he call it? World. You're in my world. That's how she is. I'm going to have to beat it out of her. I know that. But I'm going to love on her while she's little. Oh, Lord, you don't believe that. That young lady will never have children. And the likelihood is that she's truthful with any man that she's liking or likes her. You'll never have a husband. Also, a life, man. And it may kill her. Because now she's having some mental instability there. But God amore. If you involve yourself in that kind of stuff, you're a fool. Not for Christ's sake. Paul said, I'll be a fool for Christ's sake. It wasn't until my grandboys began to play ball, they're 8 and 13, that I realized what a fool parents act like at ball. I didn't know they did that. Climb the fences, throw balls at the ball of the coach, and fight. Man, my fighting days are over. Take an AR-15, whatever you got to do. I ain't gonna fight. Make it easy. Huh? Fools. But they're not fools for Christ. Somebody at some point at some time in life has said this about you. I don't know about them. Yeah, they're a little crazy. They're a little radical about God, and they're a little radical about the Lord, and they're always wanting to talk about church, and they're always there. They're there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, during the week. Sometimes they go every night. I mean, it just, you know, I'm not sure about them. They're just a little different. I'm going to tell you something. If it ever dawns on us what Jesus really has done for us, the fact that he was in heaven, but he left all that to come here to a money-mad, mundane, materialistic world and became like us, one of us, and took upon himself our sins and shed his blood and gave his life on Calvary's cross, was buried and raised 3 days later. And before he left, he said, I go away, but if I go away, I'll come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Paul saw it a little further down the road and said, one day Jesus is going to step out. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be changed and caught up together with them in the air to be with the Lord forever and to comfort one another with those words. And then John got a sight of it on down the road. And he looked up and said, behold, I see the Lord descending like a bridegroom coming after his bride. And one day after a while, he's going to take us to a place where there's no sin, sorrow, sickness. There's no more traffic. There's no more road rage. There's no more STDs. There's no more lottery. There's no more premarital sex, extramarital sex, no more broken homes, no more, no more, no more. He's going to take us to a place. And if you can't get excited about that, you can't get excited about anything. You let some fella be sitting up in a tree, shoot a 10-point buck, and before he raises his bottom to get off of that plank, he'll pop that cell phone out and text the world, I got him! Showing Dave back there before church a picture on my wife's phone. Y'all think I'm kidding. All I got's a flip phone. I can't get that kind of stuff she gets on hers. And I showed him a picture of my 8-year-old grandson holding a catfish about as long as he was tall. Huh? You know, they catch a fish, I don't care if it's this long or that long, they send us a picture. Fools! Efficiency. Not for Christ's sake. Huh? I don't care how bad your surgery was, somebody else had it worse. I don't care how long your scar is. Let me show you how long. No, don't show me your scar. Huh? Fools. Not fools for Christ's sake. Let me tell you what being a fool for Christ's sake. Y'all might have to tell you this and I'm done. Being a fool for Christ's sake will affect your giving. I gotta take a drink of water. This man. Who hasn't got dry up here? You say, well, Paul, what Paul was too. It's what Paul said about his things and his money. He said, all things given to me, I count as loss. That word loss means I gave it away. And then be something. You gave everything you got away. I'm at a place in life where I don't like things. I don't want to be. I don't want 3 bedrooms or 4 bedrooms. I have to pay more. I don't want 4 bedrooms. I don't even want 2 bathrooms. I don't even want a kitchen to clean. I want to go to old folks home where they do it for you. I know some of y'all don't believe that, but I just had this conversation yesterday with Gail. She's a boo-hooing about it. I told her, I said, honey, I don't want all this. I want a simple life where I can be free. If I want to give somebody $1,000, I can get it to them. When's the last time you went in a restaurant and bought a policeman lunch? Well, I don't know all of them. You don't have to know them. They don't know you when they stick themselves between you and that person shooting. When's the last time you bought a war veteran in a restaurant lunch? I don't mean to say this to be braggadocious, but we bought an old gentleman who had a World War II cap on. Like he was in his 90s, dinner one day at Billy Bob's in Carolyn. He finally got it out of her who got his ticket, and he came over and he said, Sonny, that's a whole lot better than Bubba. He said, Sonny, that's been a long time ago. I said, I don't care how long. You deserve it. And he does. And he deserves to be honored until he dies. Well, I've said a lot. You know why God established the law of giving? Because he knows we're greedy. He knows we're selfish. He knows we're going to hold on to whatever we got. We're stingy. There's a need to give. We give out of our abundance. Unlike the little widow woman who throwed in her mite that day, Jesus said, you boys ain't near as good as she is. You just throwed in out of your abundance. She gave everything she had. And if you live this kind of life that I'm talking about, free from all those sins and things that we discussed, and live a life of liberty and freedom in Christ and a life of being a giver, not just giving in the church plate. That's the limitations of your giving. You haven't even gotten started. People are going to say about you, look at them. Look at that food. You know, I don't understand. I told my church this the other night. I think I have figured out a way that we can guarantee the church continue. No church ought to have financial trouble. Amen. How come we won't let the church take a $100,000 insurance policy out on us? They pay the policy. We die, they get the $100,000. Guarantees the ministry continues. Huh? You say, I don't know about Jerry Falwell, did it? $10 million. Church paid it. You know why we won't? We want that $100,000. Even though you didn't put a penny in. Some of y'all are afraid if you do it, you're going to die, and they are going to get the money. If you give me one good moral or immoral principle involved, could be one of the most moral things we could ever do for the church. Guarantee its continuation. Amen. I'm on in. I got something else to say, but I'm not going to say it. Y'all remember, does anybody here, some of these school teachers and all, I'm sure, do, read about Jim Elliot? Anybody here ever read about Jim Elliot? There's one. There's two. Anybody else? Anybody else know about Jim Elliot? One of them, sure. Well, Jim Elliot was a man that really grew up in a silver spoon in his mouth. He was given a full scholarship for ball to the University of Washington State. And Jim Elliot had a life, a lucrative life ahead of him. Jim Elliot met a woman, a Christian. She had already devoted her life to mission work. She's still alive, by the way, writing books. Still, God's using her. Jim Elliot got saved. God called him to preach. They were a perfect match to do the ministry of missions. They wanted to minister to the Ayupi Indians down in South America, the very southern tip. People that had never seen white people, much less heard the gospel. Jim Elliot, with some friends, had scoped out the place by plane, which is the only way you could get there, and land on a little shore beside a little river. They went back the last time they were going to touch down. And lo and behold, when they got there, those Ayupi Indians were all lined up out there waving at them and carrying on. Like they're so excited to see the plane. And they thought, well, they have grown fond of seeing us, and they're trusting us now, and they're wanting us to land. They landed. And no word came from them for weeks. Search party was sent. Jim Elliot and all of his buddies' remains were found on that shore. Few remains, but remains were found. Those were cannibalistic Indians. They dismembered them and boiled their body parts and ate their flesh. Jim Elliot gave up a world of lucrative living to be a fool. Christ's sake. My son got hurt. He got hurt because he saw how they hurt us. I wish he'd never made it. Even now, he'll tell me, Daddy, why don't you put that stuff? Tell his mama to say, quit just running the roads and preaching. People at church don't love you. Just kill it. Foolish. Best life I've ever lived. Think I'll just be a fool. Wonder if we got anybody here tonight who's willing to be feeble for Christ. Oh, you're weak, you're strong. Anybody here willing to be a forgiver? Let your life be more exciting and pure. Anybody willing to be a fool for Christ? I've asked him ahead of time for permission, if y'all don't mind, Mr. Bay here. I wanted to come to the invitation place. Things that have confused me. Working together for many years. Makes me feel a little more like home. I wish that I could take everybody's pain. Failure, it's gone.
clock down here. No one who came in the name of Jesus. According to the scriptures, maybe we're praying wrong. Maybe we're looking at this wrong. Maybe God's allowed some things to come upon us. We might be feeble for it. Let Christ shine. Amen. Last thing in this world I'd ever want to give up. But if God chooses to make those changes in my life, I want to be a fool. Listen to God. That's all I ever ask my people to say. Mind the Lord. That involves you that are lost. You ought to come get saved tonight. Why would you leave the service like this? So many people here care about you, love you, talk to the Lord about you. Bye to God. Let's thank you. Father, thank you for this great honor, great privilege, great men that have been in this program. I'm honored. Speak to hearts now in Jesus' name.